the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We are delighted that you can join us for worship today. Please join me in today's call to worship. In awe and wonder at the work of God, we come. We come to worship the Lord of life, the worker of miracles. We come to give all honor, praise, and glory to the one who died and rose again to bring us life abundant and eternal. Praise be to God. Praise be to Jesus. Praise be to the Holy Spirit as we light the Christ candle, recognizing that Jesus is the light of the world. Let's pray together. God, alive and among us this day, to you no door is closed, to you no heart is locked. Draw us beyond our doubts and fears till we see the risen Christ and say in our hearts, we believe. Amen. Our merciful God is always waiting for us to come. Come so he can wash us clean and make us spotless, whiter than snow, in his mercy. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. Lord, like Thomas, we sometimes find it difficult to believe. Give us the eyes of faith, we pray, that we may know with certainty that you are always with us, caring for us and sharing our journey through life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Friends, the peace of God be with you. Receive the forgiveness that God freely offers each one of us. And receive the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit. For Jesus is risen from the dead, and whether he is seen or unseen, the Holy Spirit is here, present in our midst. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. The gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, and I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. In this reading, Jesus appears to the disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of Christ.
Today we are picking up right where we left off last week when we heard that Jesus rose from the dead, appeared to Mary at the tomb, and then sent Mary to tell the other disciples what had happened. Well, it turns out that the rest of Jesus' crew didn't actually have to wait very long before they got to see the risen Christ for themselves. On the evening of that very same day, several of them were hiding behind locked doors in the house that they were staying in Jerusalem, and Jesus came and appeared in their midst. Now, while they were probably hiding because of their fear about the authorities, they may also have been more than a little anxious about what Jesus might have to say to them if he were to appear. After all, most of his inner circle had run to hide after his arrest. They had abandoned him to the cross. And some, like Peter, had even denied having any association with him. So in addition to fear, there was probably also some sense of guilt that they were carrying, and that may have had them hiding as well. Well, as we've heard, they needn't have been concerned about Jesus rebuking them, because when he appeared, he didn't do that. He greeted them in the same way that he probably always had, with the traditional Hebrew greeting, "Peace be with you." He showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side, and he proved to them that he was not just a figment of their collective imagination. He really was alive. And then he offered the greeting again and said, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And then he did a very strange thing. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive, they aren't forgiven." We're going to come back to that in a minute. Now, as we heard in the second part of our reading, it seems that Thomas must have not been with them on that when all of this happened on that first night. So he didn't really believe it until Jesus came again and actually showed him his wounds. Once Thomas saw for himself, Jesus explained that as great as his newfound faith was, it would be even better when people were able to come to believe without having to see for themselves. Little side note for us. We tend to think of Jesus' first disciples as being giants in the faith. But here, it seems that Jesus might see us as even more blessed than they were, because we have been able to find faith without having the chance to actually see the risen Christ in the flesh. I think that's an important thing for us to hold on to, especially on the days when we might be feeling like our faith is just too small to make any difference. Today, I'd like us to really focus on the first part of our reading, on Jesus' appearance that first night, and on what he was doing when he breathed on them and gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about the Spirit coming, we tend to think about that great outpouring of the Spirit that happened 50 days later at Pentecost. We don't very often think about how the Spirit came to them on this evening, in this private moment between Jesus and some of his disciples. This was a very different scene than Pentecost. No apparent drama or spectacle. All it took for each of them to receive the Spirit of God was just a gentle breath from Jesus. So despite what we sometimes think, those first disciples did not have to wait very long for the Spirit to come to them. They received the Holy Spirit on the evening of that first day, which actually brings to mind Jesus' promise that he made to them before his crucifixion when he said, "I will not leave you as orphans." He'd explained that he was going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to be with them, to help them, and to teach them. And as we see here, within hours of his resurrection, he'd done exactly as he'd promised. As we saw last Sunday, it seems like in these early days, there's a definite sense that the risen Christ was not wasting any time. What's most interesting to me in this is that this wasn't just a case of him granting them the Holy Spirit to be with them so that they might feel better about things. There's much more to this than that. Remember, before he breathed on them, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And then after they had received the Spirit, he said that kind of confusing bit about forgiving sins or not. Friends, I actually think this is a seminal moment in the Christian story. Here we see that Jesus' gift of the Spirit is directly related to his commission to his followers. Remember, with Jesus' death and resurrection, God's mission had taken a huge step forward. From that very first day, the Holy Spirit came to live with and within the disciples. Not just as a nice, loving gesture, and not just as a personal support for them, as they got used to the idea of living without Jesus with them in the same way that he had been. No, Jesus granted his followers the Holy Spirit for a purpose, to encourage and empower them to participate in God's mission. He was really clear when he said here, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Jesus had come with a mission from God, and now that same mission was theirs to take up. They had work to do. And with the Holy Spirit, they would have everything they needed to do that work, which, as he indicates here, seems to have something to do with forgiveness. Now, a bit of a note. We need to be clear. This is not saying that you or I have the power to forgive or not forgive people for their sins. Only God forgives. So despite what it sounds like in our English translation, Jesus wasn't saying that if we don't forgive someone, then God won't forgive them either. Thankfully, we can't actually prevent someone from receiving God's forgiveness. We don't grant it or withhold it. But we are called and led and equipped by the Holy Spirit to participate in some way in this work of forgiveness that God is doing. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God in Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation. At its heart, this is what God's work is about: reconciling all of the relationships that were broken at the fall. Now, this was not just important for those first disciples. It's actually important for all disciples, for everyone who has followed Jesus in the years since. Remember, he said to them, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." Whoever believes in me, all disciples for the rest of time. Anyone in whom the Holy Spirit lives is called, like those original disciples were, to participate in God's reconciling work in this world. So, my friends, what I really want us to get our heads around today is that our participation in God's mission is not optional. It's not just that some congregations are missionally oriented and others aren't. All congregations are meant to be missional, simply because there really is no church separate from God's mission. The church is, by definition, in mission. So there's no denominations that are separate from God's mission. There's no buildings that are for purposes that are separate from God's mission. There's no ministry that each of us might be a part of that isn't a part of God's mission. Every one of those things is meant to contribute to the overall mission of God in the world. So when we gather for worship, for example, it's not just about what you or I might get out of it this Sunday. This worship service is meant to somehow be a part of how we are living out God's mission in the world. Now, that can happen a lot of different ways. Maybe worship fills us up so that we are empowered to go out and live our lives as disciples of Christ, engaging in what we see God doing in the world around us. Or maybe there's something happens in a service that God uses to invite us into his mission in some way. Maybe we sense a call or a nudge of the Holy Spirit to do something that is actually a part of God doing his loving, reconciling work. God's intention is to work through any and all parts of the church to fulfill his mission. So there's just no church without God's mission. There's no church that is just about serving us or our needs. From the very first hours on that first evening after Jesus rose, the Christian church has been granted the Holy Spirit so that with the Spirit's leading and help, we can be part of the mission of God in the world. My friends, here at St. Stephen's, we have a vision statement, and I really hope we all know it because, frankly, it's not much use if we don't. Our vision is to be a Jesus-centered, Spirit-led community of people who are called and equipped to join in God's loving work in the world. So on our very best days, we get that we are called to be a part of God's mission of loving this world into wholeness. And we understand that as we seek the Spirit's leading, we will always find that we are being moved, called, equipped, and encouraged towards that loving work. Because that is why Jesus has given his followers the Spirit. And since that first evening, that is exactly what the Holy Spirit has been doing. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, my friends. I begin today's prayers of the people with a quote from C.S. Lewis. The Christian does not think God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because he loves us. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Today's prayers are responsive. I say, Lord of love, and the response is, hear our prayer. Lord of love, hear our prayer. God of resurrection and new life, on this second Sunday of Easter, we continue to celebrate the joy of your risen Son. Like the disciples who encountered the risen Christ, may we recognize your presence among us and be filled with wonder and hope. In this Easter season, renew our faith and strengthen our witness. Lord of love, hear our prayer. God of new life and eternal promise, as spring brings renewal to our beautiful island home, we give thanks for the many ways you reveal yourself in the natural world around us, in the blooming flowers, the returning birds, and the gentle spring rains that nourish the earth. In this Easter season, help us to see signs of resurrection all around us. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for your world and all its inhabitants. Guide world leaders to pursue justice, peace, and the welfare of all people. We especially pray for those places experiencing conflict, natural disasters, or hardship. May your spirit of reconciliation and healing be present in every corner of our world. Lord of love, hear our prayer. God of community, we pray for our congregation at St. Stephen's. Bless our ministries, our outreach efforts, and our fellowship. Help us to be a light on the Oceanside community, welcoming all who enter our doors and extending your love beyond our walls. Like the early Christians, may we be known for our love for one another. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Compassionate God, we pray for all those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit. We remember especially those on our prayer list and those we name in the silence of our hearts. Bring comfort to those who mourn, strength to those who are caregivers, and healing to all who suffer. Lord of love, hear our prayer. God of wisdom, we pray for the children and youth in our congregation and the community. Guide them as they learn and grow. Help us to nurture their faith and show them your love through our words and actions. Lord of love, hear our prayer. God of creation, we pray for the beautiful coastal environment that surrounds us here on Vancouver Island. Make us good stewards of your gifts, mindful of your impact on the earth, and committed to preserving its beauty and resources for generations to come. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Eternal God, we remember those who have gone before us in faith, especially those from our St. Stephen's family who now rest in your eternal care. We give thanks for their lives and the legacy of faith that they have left us. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Holy One, Receive these prayers, both spoken and unspoken, in this Easter season. Fill us with the peace that Christ offered to his disciples, saying, "Peace be with you." Give us strength for today, hope for tomorrow, as we seek to follow in the way of the risen Christ. We now pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With grateful hearts, we thank you for all the ways you give to God's work here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray with me the offertory prayer over all the gifts that have been given this week? O God, you have blessed us far beyond anything we deserve. May we always remember that we are stewards of all that you have given to us, and may we use it all in keeping with your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, go now, sent by the one who was sent by God. Walk in the light and testify to the resurrection of Christ and to the grace of God available to all, and live at peace with one another. And as you go, may God bless you with life forever. May Christ Jesus breathe his Spirit and his peace into you, and may the Holy Spirit lead you into the life and light of God. Amen.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Emmanuel. my body.